Well, I ask for your prayers as we look into the scriptures for a little bit. I do have a little burden on my heart. It's going to be a little bit different than what we've probably done in the past because it's more along the line of a teaching than it is really preaching. So, desire your prayers. I have written on the board, biblical giving. Now, I'll say this. It's not always easy for a pastor to talk about giving, teach or preach about giving. But I'll make this comment before we go any further. There is nothing about this that is born out of any interest or thought or accusation that there is not proper giving. You know, the fact is, I feel that the congregation does well in their giving and support, especially what I'm able to understand and what I receive from the congregation and support here. So it's not born out of anything like that. It's just a simple matter that there is a biblical principle for giving. And I believe the Lord would be pleased for us to look at it. And this morning, I feel that's what the Lord has laid on my heart. There are some principles and concepts that we need to keep in mind. Number one, remember that we have no ability of our own. Anything that we are able to do is because God has given us ability. The ability to think, to speak, to reason, to work. If you have physical strength and you are able to work with your hands, your body, your mind, you have that ability because God gave it to you. There are many in this world who are unable to do much physical work, but their minds are still very sharp and clear, and they find it's somewhat frustrating to be trapped in that situation where they are unable to do much. But I believe in all things being equal and circumstances being as they are, this will speak to the concept of giving. Biblical giving is within, I believe, reason. As the Scripture says, the Lord said, come, let us reason together. There is always a reasonable aspect in everything that God says, everything that He does, in the application of every principle or doctrine there is always a reasonable aspect of it. Now, we may not always understand that. And sometimes it won't make sense as far as logic goes. You can't always follow it through with logic. Acting on faith isn't something that's logical. It's just an act of faith. But this principle of giving is something the Lord speaks about in the Scriptures, and I'd like for us to spend some time with it this morning. Now, one of the first things I'd like to say is under the principle here, there's a word called countermand or countermanded. And it is the definition of it is to revoke a former command or give an order contrary to one before given. You know, the Old Testament speaks about a tithe, speaks about a 10%. The truth of the matter is, if you look through the Old Testament teachings on giving, what the Israelites were to do, very likely their percentages, if you would, of giving was somewhere around 22 or 23%. Because they gave their 10%. That was required of them. They gave their 10%. But they also gave to the feasts. And every time there was a festival, they gave. So there were special occasions throughout their lives. And they gave to those things. Now, I don't find anything in the New Testament that countermands, that tells us not to give that much. But it doesn't tell us, it doesn't ever give us in the New Testament a percentage or anything like that. So we're not bound by those kinds of numbers. The truth is, the Lord said, freely you've received, freely give. Now, He was speaking about spiritual things, but that same principle applies over into our natural things because freely, freely, the Lord has given us ability. What we do with the physical and mental abilities that the Lord has given us is something that we choose, or whatever limitations there may be. But the Lord has given us freely. He gave us ability. We ought to then freely give those things back to the Lord. There is another concept. It is called stewardship. The Scripture says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Everything that we have, we're responsible for how we use it before the Lord. Everything that God has given to us, we're responsible. We're going to answer for how we use those things the Lord has given us. If we use them responsibly, the Lord will be pleased with that. If we're very irresponsible with the things the Lord has given to us, then there is also a price that comes with that. Everything has its price. Nothing comes without it. I'd like to start by reading in the Scriptures from the book of Malachi, the 3rd chapter. Pretty serious little conversation that the Lord had with the people. He says in Malachi 3 and 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? And the Lord's response to that was, in tithes and offerings. Now this is speaking about an almighty God, a God that has everything, that everything that is in this world is under His control. And He says, will a man rob God? And He says, you've robbed me. Lord, how did we rob you? You robbed me in tithes and offerings. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. Again, this is no accusation. This is the principle of the Scripture. You didn't do what you were supposed to do. You robbed me in tithes and offerings. You're cursed with a curse, for you've robbed me, the whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. There is this principle that the Lord is looking for in every one of us. Folks, every one of us, we have a responsibility to our God. To our God. To do the right things, to follow the Scriptures and do the right thing, because we want to do the right thing in helping our fellow man, helping our congregation, the things that we need here. I remember several years ago, and this is a commendation, several years ago right here in this congregation, went through some hard times. The economy was really flat. It's bad. People losing work. Hours cut way back. And guys trying to make ends meet on really cut back hours, jobs lost. And there were those who were able and willing to step up and help individuals in the congregation that knew their hours had been cut back. Those who were still doing all right, still had work, still had full-time employment, were able to help those who could not. God bless. Amen. That's part of the responsibility of biblical giving. And it's not that we do it as the Lord reproved the scribes and the Pharisees over. He said, when you get ready to give your alms, don't sound the trumpet. Don't make a big production out of it. Don't let everyone know what it is you're doing. You do that in secret. And as your Father, which seeth in secret, will reward you openly. Now, there is a principle that many churches will put out that if you bless, if you give, you will be blessed financially. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if we look at it that way, if we're expecting to receive financial benefit for giving, then we're missing the mark. Because that's not where the blessing comes. The blessing comes from, as the Scripture says, and we'll get into that here in a few minutes, from the heart. From the heart. It has to find a place in the heart. There has to be something in the heart that has a desire to reach out and help my fellow man, to give to God, to give to Him what is due Him, and to help my fellow man. Now, in the book of Exodus, chapter 35, I have several scriptures, so I ask you to please bear with me. Usually I don't read that many, but today we have several. So desire your patience and follow along. If you'd like to take notes, Exodus 35, verse 5. Take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Whosoever is of a willing heart, let him bring it, an offering of the Lord. And then it goes on and names the different things in preparation for the building of the temple, the tabernacle. Whosoever is of a willing heart. That's an Old Testament principle, a willing heart. Now turn with me to the book of Leviticus. Chapter 27. And we'll read beginning with verse 30. And all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy unto the Lord. And if a man will at all redeem aught of his tithes, now listen to this, he shall add thereto the fifth part thereof. And concerning the tithe of the herd or the flock, even whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy to the Lord. If a man wanted to redeem something that he had tithed to the Lord, he had to add the fifth part to that. Do you know what that equals? 20%. If he wanted to redeem something that he had given as a tithe to the Lord, he had that option. If he had land, or if he had given herds, or whatever it was he had given a value, he had the option to redeem his tithe. He could get it back, but he had to give 20, above what he had given, he had to give 20% to get that back. So there was a principle. And that's, in other words, it's not saying that you can get back whatever you give. You can't just take it back. There is a penalty. There is an expense to it. That's biblical, is it not? Like we just read it. That's what the Lord said. Now, that was Old Testament. I understand. Now, in the book of Numbers, chapter 18. Verse 21. And behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tenth in Israel for an inheritance, for their service which they serve, even the service of the tabernacle of the congregation. The Levites were responsible for taking care of the tabernacle. They were responsible for taking care of all the duties there. And then we look down in verse 26, and let's look at this little portion. Thus speak unto the Levites, and say unto them, when ye take of the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them for your inheritance, then you shall offer up an heave offering of it for the Lord, even a tenth part of the tithe. Thus you shall offer an offering unto the Lord for all of your tithes, which you receive of the children of Israel. You shall give thereof the Lord's heave offering to Aaron the priest. Out of all your gifts you shall offer every heave offering of the Lord, of all the best thereof, even the hallowed part thereof out of it. The Levites received a tenth part. That was their due. That's what the Lord commanded. And the Levites, were required to give of the portion that they received a tenth part. No one was exempt. No one was exempt. In any area of this, no one was exempt from their responsibility of giving. So no one carried a free ride. No one could look at the Levites and say, well, they always get theirs and they don't have to do anything with it. No, that wasn't the way the Lord set it up. He set up a command that whatever they received, the tenth part, they also had to give the tenth of that to the Lord's work. New Testament. Book of Matthew. Tenth chapter. Eighth verse. Jesus sent out the disciples, and he said, freely ye have received, freely give. What we have received from the Lord in the plan of salvation, no human being was able to procure it or secure it for himself. No one. The only way that you and I can have salvation is because of the Lord's goodness and His mercy and His love to every one of us. This principle applies in this certain aspect. Freely ye have received, freely give. Everything that you and I possess, everything that we have in our hands, your home, your automobiles, your clothes, your job, you have those things because you have had the ability to work. You have had the ability to provide. You have food on your table because you say, I grew a garden. Wonderful. How did you get it done? You had to go out there and work it up. You had to pick. You had to plant. You had to process. All those things. If you go to the store and buy it, you go to the market and buy it. You buy it with money that you have earned. You earn the money because of your physical ability or your mental ability. You have that because God gave it to you. You earn bounty from the ground because the Lord made the earth able to bring forth the seed, the produce from the ground. The abilities that the Lord has placed in this earth and everything around us, freely we have received. Folks, freely we have received. Let's always remember that when we're dealing with God, when we're dealing with these principles, remember, freely we have received. God has given to us, Scripture tells us, He causes the rain to fall on the unjust and the just, and the sun rises on the evil and the good. The Lord looks on all of humanity in one way with a single eye in that regard. He has taken care of all of His creation. We have a choice to make. He gave us the ability to choose, to make decisions about what we will do and what we won't do with the things that we have at our disposal, and we're responsible for it. The Lord again says, freely you have received, freely give. Now in 6 of Matthew, first four verses, take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Folks, this is very important principles here. This is very important. This is biblical giving. This is what the Lord says. These are the words of the Master. Take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have no reward of your Father, which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But when thou doest thine alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself, shall reward thee openly. Do you remember the occasion where the people were giving to the temple treasury? Jesus and His disciples were there. There were men walking up and they were casting in the temple treasury. And there was a little woman, a little widow woman, who walked up to the treasury and she cast in two mites. You remember what the Lord said about that? It got His attention. And He called the disciples to it. He said, if you allow me to paraphrase, you see, did you see what this little woman just did? Did you see what she just did? Everyone in this room put in the treasury out of their abundance. But she put in everything she had. Now in comparison, what she put in was two mites. And we had a message about those mites, I believe it was not long ago. Two sparrows sold for a farthing. How much a mite is? It's not much. But the Lord took notice of what she did. He said, these cast in of their abundance. But she gave all that she had. She gave it all. Folks, the truth of the matter is, everything that we possess belongs to the Lord. The biblical principle, the New Testament biblical principle is, everything that we possess belongs to the Lord. It should be used to the glory of God, understanding that we have life to live, understanding that we have responsibilities, understanding that there is time for leisure and recreation, understanding all of those things, but to deal with them and do them responsibly. We're going to give account before the Lord. Everything that we have, it is the Lord's. We're just borrowing it. We're just using it for a little while. Now, 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul speaks a little bit here. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. He says these two scriptures, 1 and 2. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. Now the Apostle Paul was saying, rather than when I come, me having to speak to you about taking up offerings and gatherings, he said, lay up the first day of the week. Lay it up. And as God hath prospered you, a little comment here. I believe the scriptural principle tells us that the first fruits belong to the Lord. Everything that we have belongs to Him. We should always give Him the first fruits. He gets the first, the best, not the leftovers after all the bills are paid. Folks, if we do not well if we approach that God gets His after everything else is paid, after everything else is done. God is first. He says in the Old Testament, "Thou shalt have no other gods before Me." No other gods before Me. This is a very fine line. I'm not here to dictate. I'm speaking of biblical principles, biblical giving. The Lord comes first. He is due the first fruits. In the Old Testament, He got the firstlings of the flock. He got the best. He got the firstborn. He got those things. That was required then. It's not required now. We don't have a New Testament law that tells us how much we must give, a percentage. Nothing tells us that we have to give the firstling. Nothing tells us that. But there are principles. There are principles. And if we hope to prosper in the Lord, not financially, not materially, if we hope to prosper in the Lord, we must put God in His rightful place, which is first. First. God is first. The budget, when we're talking about doing our family budgets and household budgets, remember, I think that should consist of God's portion coming out before anything else does. God's portion comes out first. Now, there are many different ways that people can give. There are many different ways that people can help. I believe the Old Testament principle said they were required to give 10%, but they could give more than that if they chose. They had the liberty to give more than that. The Lord doesn't have a specific requirement of us today in the New Testament covenant. Again, because everything that we have belongs to the Lord. Now, let's say this. I want a new whatever. I don't ease God out of the budget to put something else in. If I work overtime, these are some of the things I believe I can say or have a principle in the Scripture, but this is not chapter, book, and verse. I'll say as the Apostle Paul says, I think I have the Spirit of the Lord here. If we work overtime, we give to the Lord His portion of the abundance. And 2 Corinthians 8 and 12 says, for if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. To that a man hath. This is Scripture. It is according to what a man has, not what he doesn't have. So we get overtime. We have overtime. We budget. The portion that we decide to take out, give God His portion of the abundance. If things get so tight that I have to quit giving to God, I need to examine things to see what needs to be adjusted. If I'm in a place, if things get so tight in my home environment, in my finances, that I have to quit giving to God, then I need to be careful. I need to be careful and look at see what else needs to be adjusted along the way. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that which ye have. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and ye burdened, but by inequality. Now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. As it is written, he that had gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. I want to remind us of something. It's been, what, nearly 10 years now? Hurricane Katrina came through here. Do you remember that? Is it just a faint memory? Do you remember the destruction? Do you remember the damage? Do you remember the trees, the carnage? Do you remember walking out, looking out at your yard or your property, looking out and saying, how? How will we get this cleaned up? If you were able to come down Highway 40 and look from the highway to the chapel area, you couldn't hardly see the chapel because the trees were all over the ground. Do you remember how we got out of that? Crews came down here to help. Crews from Neosho, crews from Oklahoma, Kansas, Alabama. They came down here to help. They put their shoulder to it. They brought fuel. They brought water. They brought what they could. They brought little things that seemed to be so insignificant at times. They brought toilet paper. They brought paper towels. They brought things like that that we needed. And they came self-sufficient. They didn't come here to burden us. They came here with everything that they needed. They brought their food. They brought their clothes. They brought every provision that they needed. They came in here with their fuel that they would need for the equipment they had. And what they had left over, they left here. Because it wasn't always easy to find fuel. Do you remember those things? Willing hearts. Willing hearts. And this scripture says, by inequality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance may also be a supply for your want. There likely will come a day when we will have opportunity to give back. And may the Lord help us when that time comes to be willing to give back. And it might not be to the folks in Neosho or Oklahoma or Alabama. It might be in another location altogether different. It might be something altogether different. But again, freely ye have received, freely give. That is a way to secure the blessing of the Lord. Not financial blessings. Not material blessings, but the Lord God of all creation looking down on His creation, looking down on us from the heart, being willing to do those things that are necessary to communicate with our fellow man. Lord, help us with these things. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now I want to go back to this budget thing for just a moment. There are things that people want over and above what's necessities. That's understandable. And there is nothing wrong with us factoring in things in the budget for things over and above necessities. But when we do it, folks, let's do it responsibly. If I say that I want a new tractor. All right, I'm going to start putting aside money to get a new tractor. And the way I get the new tractor is I don't let the work of the Lord suffer because I want a tractor. I budget for that. I understand there are emergencies. But I budget for that. I budget for that. And I budget for that. And the time comes when I have enough set aside in my budget that I can go buy this thing and nothing suffers. Because I have planned all along the way to work toward this end. I have planned to work toward that, to accomplish that purpose, that goal. And no one suffers. Nothing suffers. Lord, help us with these things to be responsible. Stewardship before the Lord. Now, understanding that things will happen. We have to fall on hard times. And sometimes, In order to pay the bills, we will have to maybe push off the tractor purchase for a couple of years in order to pay the bills. Not the Lord's money coming off so I can buy my tractor. You understand what I said? If I have to push off the tractor for a couple of years to pay the bills, I do that. And I don't push off the Lord, giving to the Lord so I can buy the tractor. Because that's putting my wants first, my desires first. Lord, help us with those things. Again, scriptural giving, biblical giving. 1 Timothy 6:17. charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And what this is speaking about is, well, we're going to read it again in just a few minutes, but it says, talks about mammon. That the things that we use, what the Lord has given us, the increase, the bounty, the paycheck, whatever comes, we use that responsibly and well and wise, so that when we come to the end of our journey, the Lord can see that we've handled those things responsibly, and it will help us to gain that heavenly reward against the time to come. If I've been stingy and tight and I haven't been willing to help and I've been just pulling it all to myself, there's a price to pay for that. There's a price to pay for that. The Lord's looking on. Remember, Scripture tells us all things are naked and open before Him with whom we have to do. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 16. Verse 9. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. What this is speaking of is use it wisely. Make it work for you. Don't let it work against you. Use the things that the Lord has given you and use them responsibly and let them work for you. Let them help you. You use them right. You give in the proper frame of heart, frame of mind. We use the resources the Lord has given to us in the appropriate way. Those things will be a benefit to us. Not because we're going to prosper financially, but because spiritually the Lord, looking down, says, "Well done, thou faithful servant." He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. He that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant, the words of the Master, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That's the words of the Master. You cannot serve God and mammon. Matthew 6. We'll soon be done. Matthew 6, verses 19, 20, 21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Again, the words of the Master. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now let's just look at just a little bit, a couple of numbers here. Let's say that a man has a family of five with an income of $20,000. His tithe would be $2,000 for a disposable income of $18,000 for a family of five. Another couple has no children with a $100,000 income, and his tithe would be $10,000 with $90,000 as a disposable income for two people. One man pays a tithe of 10%. For two people, he has $90,000 to live off of. Another man pays a tithe of 10%, and he has $18,000 to live off of for five people. I'm not here to say we have to tithe. The New Testament doesn't tell us to tithe. It tells us whatever as a man has, as it comes from his heart. You see, you're not responsible to me We are all responsible to God. How we handle these things, how we manage these affairs, we're all responsible to the Lord. We can see how easy, the difference in the two, how easy it would be for one. They're both giving a tithe of 10%. One giving a tithe has $90,000 for two people to live on. Another having a tithe has $18,000 for five people to live on. There's a big difference in that. It'd be pretty easy for one and kind of hard for the other. The Lord sees all of that. He knows how to work it out. We're responsible for Him. In closing, there's a story about a farmer who went to hear John Wesley preach. And I can't verify whether or not this is accurate or not. It's just a story that I read. And as John Wesley was preaching and this farmer was sitting there listening to him preach, he heard John Wesley talking about money, preaching about money, saying, get all you can. Get all the money you can. The farmer said, now that, I like that preaching. I like that the way he's presenting that. Get all you can. Next phase he went on to, phase two, he said, save all you can. The farmer said, I like that. Get all you can, save all you can. I can live like this. And he says, give all you can. And the farmer said, now he just spoiled a good message. Get all you can, save all you can. Folks, I believe the Bible will teach us, give all you can. I believe that. I understand that this is kind of touchy territory, isn't it, when you start talking about giving. I trust we've heard this from the Bible, not from a man's lips. And we understand that we have responsibility before the Lord. And I want to say again, I approach this for no reason whatsoever, the congregation, feeling that you're not doing your part, that you're not doing your job. I feel, for my part, for myself and Pammy, that I have no grievance, I have no complaint whatsoever. But this is Bible, and it's part of the teachings that we have to deal with day in and day out. And I do believe it has an impact on our spiritual condition, the way we approach the things that the Lord has put into our hands. So, if by chance something like this has caught you in a little short place, well, talk to the Lord about it and let Him help you get fixed up, get out of that. Otherwise, thank the Lord for all He has done for us. And as the Scripture says, the Lord loves a cheerful giver. I appreciate your time and attention. God bless each one. Amen.